and walk out with late summer deals too good to miss. Starting Wednesday at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:06. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, the 28th of July. Hopefully you had a good weekend out there. And let's tell you what's coming up on the show. First part of the show, Hood River City Manager Abigail Elder is here. Mayor Paul Blackburn's off somewhere. He'll be joining us by the telephone. And we'll talk about the city of Hood River, what they've been doing over the last month or so, and A lot of talk about a lot of planning stuff. We'll let Abigail describe it for us because she's the one who had to sit through all of it. So I'll let her describe it. Second half of the program, Clickat County Commissioner Lori Zoller will join us. I know we're going to talk some with Lori about the aftermath. Hopefully what we're heading into now is aftermath of the Burdoin fire, a 54% or so a containment, I believe was the number. I've got it in front of me. There it is, 54% as of last night, and Snyder Creek fire fully contained. So hopefully we're now into the certainly the downhill side of that incident. So we'll talk to Lori about kind of where you go from here now as a county after a fire like that. We've seen Wasco County, of course, deal with it just a month ago and continue to deal with the aftermath of the Rowena fire. So all that on MCT, but first let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means at least to a few people. This day in 1914. World War I began as Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia. 1945, U.S. Army B-25 bomber crashed into the 79th floor of New York's Empire State Building, the world's tallest structure at the time. It killed 14. 1965, President Lyndon B. Johnson announced he was increasing the number of American troops in South Vietnam from 75,000 to 125,000. 1976, an earthquake devastated northern China, killing at least 242,000 people, according to an official estimate. 1984, the LA Summer Olympics opened. 14 Eastern Bloc countries, led by the Soviet Union, boycotted those games, which was good news if you were a kid just out of high school, waiting to go to college in Eugene, Oregon, like me, and McDonald's was running that year a Summer Olympics promotion where you scratched off, and if the Americans won medals in the event you scratched off, you got the food and whatever else. Yeah. And because the Soviet Union didn't show up, the Americans won a lot more than they thought they were going to. McDonald's did, and McDonald's gave away. I basically spent a whole summer eating off the Summer Olympics win before I went to Washington State. 1995, a jury in Union, South Carolina rejected the death penalty for Susan Smith, sentencing her to life in prison for drowning her two young sons. Smith apparently is eligible for parole in November. I don't see that, but anyway. Well, in 1996, 8,000-year-old human skeletal remains, later referred to as Kennewick Man, discovered on the bank of the Columbia River. 2004, the Irish Republican Army formally announced an end to their armed campaign against British rule in Northern Ireland. 2015, it was announced that Jonathan Pollard, the former naval intelligence analyst who had spent nearly three decades in prison for spying for Israel, had been granted parole. And in 2019, a gunman opened fire at a popular garlic festival in Gilroy, California, killing three people, including a 6-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl, and wounding 17 others before he took his own life. Days for today, it's apparently National Soccer Day for whatever reason. It's National Water Park Day today. In the hot weather, that makes sense. And it's World Nature Conservation Day today. Our food and drink today, it's a pretty good day. It's National Milk Chocolate Day today. Milk chocolate specifically. I prefer dark, but I won't turn down the milk chocolate. And finally, this is the one I like today. It's National Hamburger Day today. I can hear Jimmy Buffett singing right now. Cheeseburger in Paradise. Great song, by the way. So there it is for what it's worth. May not be a whole lot. 810. We'll talk City Hood River after this.
I am Christine Douglas. I work here in patient services at Skyline Health. My main job is registration and answering any questions our patients have. I know when people are here, they're here because they're in pain and they need help. At Skyline, we treat every patient as an individual. I'm here to serve because these are my people, my friends, my kids, and my neighbors. I'm reminded every day of how lucky I am to work in such a close, caring, and beautiful community. I am Skyline.
If you didn't think skipping breakfast was a big deal, you'd be right. Before. But now, Wendy's has Buck Biscuits. We're talking sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, or even the Honey Buddy Chicken Biscuit. For just a buck each. Seriously, you can get all three if you want. They're just a buck. So you'll never skip breakfast again. If you're smart. Breakfast for a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Limit 5 qualifying items per transaction. Not valid in the combo while supplies last.
The threat of wildfire poses a growing risk to Oregonians. And recent wildfires have provided some important lessons. You can prepare now by taking three important steps. Step 1. Contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step 2. Create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step 3. Gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of wildfire. Be wildfire ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/preparenow to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
It is now 8:12 in the morning in our studio. Hood River City Manager Abigail Elder and on the phone, Mayor Paul Blackburn. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having us.
And let's jump in here, first of all, with what the City Council spent the bulk of its last two meetings doing, Abigail, and that is been hearing from your planning department, and these have been very long, and quite frankly, they're governmental dry discussions. I'm not gonna sugarcoat this. It's important, but it's very it's not exciting.
Right. There's a reason we only do this every 15, 20 years.
Yes, and unfortunately for this city council, their number came up.
It's their turn.
But basically, you're going through a lot of your development code.
Exactly right. So the city has municipal code. It's available online if you want to read it. Chapters 17 talk about how we develop in the city. So all the rules about... what they talked about this last time is all the rules about how you notify people that, or if you notify people about any kind of construction and work being done. It has stuff about how big a building can be, what can be built where, how tall it can be, all of those details. And this council gets to see that in micro detail.
Mm-hmm. So, Paul, is there anything out of it? I mean, there was probably a total of, in between two meetings, 3.5 to 4 hours
That's
of
right.
discussions on, or actually maybe more listening. I'm not sure discussion's the right word on this. Anything that maybe stands out at the mayor council level that you go, okay, we need maybe to address this?
One of the difficulties is it's sort of like trying to describe a Monet poem or picture. Like, we have to write rules that imagine or are relevant to every single possible building that might be built. So you have to translate the words into a picture. Like, oh, this is to address how close together buildings are allowed to be built. Oh, this is to address whether we can change the use of a building from one thing to another. But what if it burns down? So it's almost like a comedy of language, trying to anticipate every situation.
And part of this, Abigail, also involves, when you get right down to it, I've covered enough planning stuff, unfortunately, over the years. You have to go into the weeds like this. Otherwise, if you don't, a lot of decisions that get made, say, at your planning commission, city council level on land use, are really open to interpretation at the legal level on appeal.
Yeah, our goal here is for clarity, both for the staff who have to interpret the code, but also for builders and developers who are trying to decide if that's even a worthwhile project. Mm-hmm. The last thing we want is for someone to feel, or for the public to feel, that the rules got changed or that things weren't consistent. But as the mayor said, it's hard to think about every possible thing that could happen. So it's a difficult, long process.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mayor.
The joke is a camel is a horse developed by a committee, but the situation we're in is nearly like we have to decide, so describe how a horse is not a camel. It's like, oh my God, that's a lot of words.
Yeah, yeah. And I also, you know, I said we were doing this for the first time in probably 20 years, maybe longer. The code that we currently have has evolved and been amended so many times. We're doing a full revamp of the code. So that's also what makes this hard, is the code has limped along and it's done okay with lots of small changes. And now we're like, wait, let's take a step back. And what would you do if you were starting over?
Which I guess is why I asked the question a moment ago, is that, you know, imagine you start to go through this and there are some of these things you go, okay, yeah, all right, that's fine. It works, applies today. You know, okay, this makes sense. And then though you run into those that you go, hold it, times have changed here in the last couple decades. I guess that's where I go. Does anything jump out at you, Paul?
I'm listening. I'm just pondering.
Yeah. Okay,
I'll jump in. And
okay,
before we got on the air, Mark and I were just talking a little bit about, you know, participation versus, you know, efficiency. And so that's what council really spent a lot of time on this last time, is how much notification should people receive? How far out from a development should people be notified? And trying to weigh that, like, you know, being informed versus trying to get things done, because all that notification participation takes a lot of time. And I think the mayor said something like, I want there to be a lot of process when it's my neighbor's property, but when it's my property, I want to get things done quickly without a lot of input from others. Well, so there's a universal tension there.
And of course, this gets to the streamline argument about, you know, time is money for developers.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, you know, let's face it, I mean, there's a balance here between making sure a development is right for the area, but not delaying it through process for so long that it becomes unfeasible for the developer to be able to proceed on something that might very well be beneficial to the community as a whole.
Exactly. And in some cases, there's a choice to sort of default to the state rule. But I think anyone who's been reading the news knows that in the last couple of years, the state policy has become much more pro, let's get housing built, which, again, we all love for our city, but we don't love for our next door neighbor. So I just want to be thinking of all our residents' interests and, like, what are the rules that make sense for Hood River? We're not, like, we don't want to be, you know, business unfriendly, but we also don't want to, like, lay out the welcome mat and plow everything down and build high rises, because Hood River's an awful cute place, I think most of us think.
So, I mean, this brings up the element also of it's a small city, which means you have limited planning staff.
Mm-hmm. They work really hard.
And, you know, we could talk all we want about, you know, trying to streamline and move quickly along, but everybody has their capacity of what they can do from a workload standpoint. I don't know how much that enters into something like this, but it's a reality in terms of if we're talking about trying to create as efficient a process as possible.
Absolutely. And as we think about, you know, what council wants to see in the code, that will certainly impact what future resources and budgets have to be allocated to the planning process. Mm-hmm.
So where do you go?
A specific anecdote here is there's a home being built near downtown Hood River that I think is about a $4 million home. And some of the comments around that were like, we've worked with a lot of cities and it never goes like this. It's like, well, have you worked in a city of 8,000 before? Like, we are so limited in what we can do. And yet we are quite sophisticated and we demand sophistication. And that's a tricky balance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and part of that also is we tend to be used now to having everything done immediately on a lot of different levels in a lot of different areas, that it may not be realistic in some cases.
Yep.
That's right. And Hood River can be a complicated place to develop, right? Mm-hmm. Like, stormwater is a much bigger deal here than it might be in other places mm-hmm. that don't get as much rain. You know, the topography is complicated. Things take time.
Mm-hmm. I would think, though, also, I mean, one of the dangers in this as you deal with this is it's well known the city council's number one goal in life right now is more housing, but not necessarily the $4 million house you just described.
Exactly right.
But houses that people who actually work here and keep the place going can afford, whether it be rental or purchase, whatever it might be. And imagine that part of the problem is you can't always tailor the rules to separate the two, can you?
That's right. But we are looking at this with a lens to, you know, how can we see the kind of, are there things we can do to expedite or incentivize the type of housing we want to see? Mm-hmm. Just like we did, you might remember when we were doing system development charges, we spent a lot of time on that as well. Same with the code. Is there anything we can do with the code mm-hmm. to expedite smaller homes?
Right. So where do you go from here on this?
Well, council's got probably three more. I shouldn't tell the mayor this.
Oh, no.
They've got, like, they're not going to show up, but they've got probably three more sessions on this. So we will try to make them a bit more streamlined than they've been. And then this is council's number one project this year. And we knew it would be a year. We spent all last year reviewing our current code, seeing all of the problems. Now we're looking at the code and asking questions. And then we'll come back with, here's what we heard from you. Here's a code that responds to the things that you told us. Mm-hmm. So that will probably happen this winter, or probably like early 2026. Mm-hmm. So this is a really 3-year long process.
By the way,
I'm quite excited about it. I'm quite excited about it because I don't think that anyone looking to build in Hood River necessarily deserves the answer they want, but they deserve a straight answer. And so having the
Very
rules
well
be
said.
Clear so that they make sense and their operation, they make sense for real operations and development.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to something else here, and this is something we've talked about with actually counties quite a bit here, mostly the last month or so, but since the legislature adjourned without a transportation package, we do know now there's going to be a special session, apparently August 29th. Whether or not there actually is something actually nailed down is a matter of, I think, interpretation, it sounds like. But Abigail, as far as what this has meant to the city of Hood River, because you have a number of things going on with ODOT that are, where we the tie-in of the Heights streetscape come right to mind, about the 13th and 12th Street ownership.
That's right.
What right now does the ODOT situation mean at your level as a city?
Yeah, thank you. And we're appreciative of Representative Jeff Helfrich came to the city council meeting last week and talked about the legislature and what he anticipated happening. But it was really disappointing, I think, for everyone that the legislature did not pass a transportation package. And for Hood River especially, we received some of those fundings from the gas tax, but our big thing was this year we had hoped for money for our what we call the jurisdictional transfer, that the city would take over 12th and 13th and we would implement our vision of being more pedestrian neighborhood friendly in that area and change a little bit of the way the traffic flows through. So big disappointment that our project, which generally had support, died with because it was folded into the bigger package.
Mm-hmm. Paul, your thoughts?
Exactly. I mean, we're just crushed that it didn't happen. It's such an essential funding source for us. We'd love to be able to implement the plan that we spent a lot of time developing for the Heights. And without that, you know, the ODOT has rules that doesn't comply with. So we really want to be able to set our own rules up there, but also have enough funding to fix the years of deferred maintenance.
Can this be picked? Let's say that a mm-hmm. package gets approved here. Now, we don't know what it would be like on August 29th. Can this be, Abigail, picked back up, basically where it left off, if a package was passed, say, September 1?
Yeah, I think we're all assuming that special projects like this will probably not be part of the special session, but certainly if the opportunity is there, we'll make that ask. For us, there's a little bit of a timing issue. You know, you say, oh, you just go back when the next session and the next session after that. But the ADA ramps on 12th and 13th will have to be replaced before I don't remember exactly the year. I think 2028 is when we'd have to get them done. So there is a bit of a ticking clock here that if we don't get the jurisdictional transfer, ODOT will have to do those ramps and they might have to get redone. And that just feels so wasteful if we can't make it happen.
You have to rip the street up twice.
Yes. And I don't want to do that to our residents.
No, I don't think anybody really wants to see that at this point. You know, that's more of a larger ticket, bigger picture situation.
It is a big ticket.
Getting them down maybe more to the day-to-day. And let's face it, around this area especially, especially when we get to winter, state, county, and city each have their kind of their duties they do to help keep this area functioning in a heavy snowstorm. What does this mean for all of that?
I think ODOT and by extension us are still trying to figure that out. I did see a list of identified positions to be cut, and I think there were 10 of them in Hood River County. Yeah. So we're trying to work with them and figure those kind of things out. I was on a meeting with ODOT team last week, and someone said, well, I'm not sure I'll be here at the end of the month. So that was very humbling. So in addition to, you know, the day-to-day work, we have a lot of projects with which we work with ODOT and those engineers and folks worried about all of them.
Well, the thing also I think of just getting the winter situation, but I think it's when people really notice.
That's right. When it really hits home.
Yeah, hits home. Hospital Hill is on a state highway.
Yeah. Although the city does a lot of that plowing already.
Sure.
We tend to handle a lot of that, and we have good communication with ODOT on that one.
Which is where I get to is that, you know, if there are pieces that the city and county have to backfill in, if you will, during these situations, that means something else gets put off.
That's exactly right.
Somewhere. Yep. And the chain starts to deteriorate at that point.
That's right. Yeah. The city prioritizes which streets we do, and it might be that we have to push some of our priorities back. Sorry, Mayor. Go ahead.
The way I think of that is I like to go to the grocery store, I like to go to Portland, and I like to go skiing. And those are three different kinds of roads, and I'd sure like for each of those snowplows to be running.
Yeah, it's so we'll see what happens toward the end of August. But and for those who maybe aren't familiar, it's 50, 30, 20.
That's right, how the gas tax is divided.
You're at the 20.
Yep.
But
we use every penny.
Yeah,
I'm wisely.
I'm sure you got. And again, this does, if the, and we should point out, by the way, it's not like there's nothing flowing in. It's just everything is staying as it was.
Right.
And we have a deteriorating gas tax situation because of the efficiency of vehicles, et cetera. And we still have a larger, bigger picture issue to discuss eventually, which is how eventually do we almost replace the gas tax?
Yeah, there's definitely, I know there's at the state level conversations about restructuring how revenues are created for transportation.
And the city has a gas tax, doesn't it?
We do. Yeah. I was passed.
I remember the argument, I would say the 90s,
but I think it's 3 cents. So it has never increased. It was passed once and it has stayed there.
Right. It stayed there. But the point being that eventually becomes a deteriorating revenue source for the city of Hood River.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, in addition to it has never been indexed for inflation. It has never, it doesn't reflect the costs. That revenue has stayed flat.
Well, it's 8:28 in the morning, hitting the bottom of the hour here. Hood River City Manager Abigail Elder, Mayor Paul Blackburn. Thanks for doing this. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you on the phone today.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, you guys. Have a good one.
Have a good one. We're coming up on 8:30 in the morning. When we come back, Lori Zoller, Clicktech County Commissioner, will be on in a few minutes, but actually we'll do the news when we come back after this.
Must qualify for enrollment. Results may vary.
Do you have $10,000, $20,000, or $30,000 in debt? Then listen to this. You may not be required to pay it all back.
I was drowning in debt.
I had over $36,000 in debt.
If I would have just made the minimum payments, it would have taken me 59 years to pay off.
Whether it's credit card, medical, or personal loan debt, National Debt Relief can help significantly reduce what you owe. In fact, debt relief payments can be 50% less than your monthly credit card payments. That's right, half as much as you're paying now.
National Debt Relief reduced my debt by over $27,000.
With National Debt Relief, you have a powerful team that knows how to talk to your creditors.
National Debt Relief, they got me out of debt.
More than 550,000 Americans have used National Debt Relief to reduce their debt. Call 800-353-5566 to see if you qualify to settle your debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's 800-353-5566. 800-353-5566.
Craving something cool, savory, or just downright fun? Swing by Scoopers, where there's something for everyone. Over 25 flavors of Umpqua ice cream, plus mouthwatering sandwiches, homemade soups, coffee drinks, Italian sodas, and milkshakes that'll make your taste buds dance. planning a party? We've got two party rooms and a family-friendly arcade that keeps the fun going. Find us on 2nd Street, downtown The Dalles. Open every day. Scoopers, cool treats, hot eats, and good times for the whole family.
Is it that time? The difficult moment when you realize your parents need more help than you can provide. Hi, I'm Jackie from Hawks Ridge Assisted Living, and I want you to know you don't have to do this alone. We offer compassionate care, enriching activities, and a true sense of belonging. Your parents deserve to feel comfortable, supported, and valued every single day. Come take a tour, see how Hawks Ridge can be your extended family, providing the care and dignity your loved ones deserve. Hawks Ridge and Hood River, where care feels like home.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:30 in the morning. In the news, containment of the 11,289-acre Burdoyne fire advanced to 54% on Sunday. Along Highway 14, crews continue to patrol and monitor for any remaining heat, ensuring perimeter security within the Catherine and Major Creek drainages. Crews have begun to plumb both, or rather have plumbed both sides of Catherine Creek, and are identifying and mopping up heat toward Major Creek. Firefighters use an unmanned aircraft system to locate heat and extinguish hot spots in the Dixon and Silvis Creek drainages and between Centerville Highway and Oda Knight Road. Crews were also working to protect several small green islands within the fire footprint. Also to the north, the 53-acre Snyder Creek fire, it reached full containment on Sunday night as hotshot crews working with aviation support secured fire line around the southeast corner of the fire. Construction is set to begin this week on water infrastructure upgrades along Spring Street and North Main Avenue in White Salmon. The project being funded by a $2.4 million Public Works Board loan, as well as $177,000 in American Rescue Plan Act funding that was allocated by the White Salmon City Council. City officials say the project addresses a longstanding deficiency in reservoir storage capacity that limits reliable water supply and fire protection in parts of the city. The search for Travis Decker, the father wanted for murdering his daughters in late May, has been scaled back, or what Washington authorities say is a decline in new investigative leads. In an update, the Chelan County Sheriff's Office said that while the criminal investigation remains ongoing, there has been an exhaustive search of several areas. The most recent search was north of Mineral Springs in the Blewett Pass area, yielding inconclusive evidence. TripAdvisor released its Traveler's Choice Awards winners and recognized Mount Hood Railroad and its picture-perfect views among the top-rated things to do in the U.S. this year. Look for sunshine today. Highs upper 80s to mid-90s. West wind about 10 miles per hour. Currently 68 degrees in Hood River and 68 degrees in the Dalles. And it's next on Mid-Columbia Today. Lori Zoller, Klickitat County Commissioner, after this.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpine Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep. It's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to adopt a dog. Just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
The success you've already had matters at University of Maryland Global Campus because we're a school for real life. An accredited state university, UMGC lets you earn up to 90 credits toward a bachelor's for prior learning and relevant life and work experience, or transfer up to 12 credits toward a master's. We offer affordable tuition and online and hybrid courses. Classes start August 13th. Apply now and save with no application fee. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes. So it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
When you've got real work to do, metal supermarkets will help you get it done fast. With a huge variety of metals in stock, we can help no matter what job comes your way, and we cut to size, Because just like taxes and BS, we think metal is better when cut. Metal Supermarkets, the convenience stores for metal. Find a store or shop online at metalsupermarkets.com.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
It is now 8:35 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined by Klickitat County Commissioner Lori Zoller. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. How are you doing today?
Good. It's a new day and trying to get back to some sort of regular business.
Yes, you are. But we probably should step back because it's still ongoing, but things obviously looking much better now on the fire site for the Burdoyne fire. As a county commissioner, how much opportunity did you get to kind of visit the area and what was going on?
We respect the fire authorities in that effort, and so we make sure that we reach out and make an appointment to have somebody take us through, and they pick the safest time that they feel like it's open and available. I think it was late Thursday that we arranged for a tour, and our Public Works Department actually took us with a pickup through the boundaries, and we got to tour all the roads. And at that time, I was very impressed with the situation, the fire, everything that we toured. Basically, there was nothing burning. It had burnt through. There wasn't a lot of fuel left. There were mop-up crews cruising the roads and attending to any hot spots they found. And for the most part, I know we lost houses. I don't even have a number yet. For the most part, the crews had done such a great job going in and protecting structures and setting back some barriers. So if something happened to come back that way, they had at least a 100-foot fire line around all of the houses.
As a county, I mean, obviously you're still in the emergency really right now. But have you been given an idea? I mean, I know when I talked to Wasco County, one of the commissioners a couple of weeks ago, coming out the Rowena fire, and one of the things that they noted was, what they were being told was, it could be years to fully get, of a recovery process.
Right.
What are you guys looking at for a recovery process on this one? Because there are some similarities between the two fires.
You know, a lot of things that I'm going to say are personal and also some assumptions of what we'll do. Of course, it's early Monday morning off of a weekend.
Yeah.
So for the county commissioners to officially sit together and start moving through that process, that will start on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Mr. Eyrig is the chair, so it's his responsibility to meet with departments and agencies independently right now and then bring that information back to the board, and we'll start a process of where do we go from here and what do we need to do. And, of course, that's going to not only be the county departments, that's going to be Gorge Commission, that's going to be U.S. Forest Service properties, DNR, tribal lands. It's going to be a big conversation to see where this effort goes.
Also, with the situation here, I mean, that fire got basically on the doorstep of Lyle, essentially.
Yeah.
So that makes this fire, and maybe it's just the fading of memory over the years. I unfortunately have covered too many of things like this.
So we've been around a long time.
I've been around a long time. So you tend to put things more in perspective as time goes on. But this one might have been the closest that I can recall, along with, again, the fire that just occurred in Rowena, where we were looking at a lot of property damage from a fire like this. And I don't know if I remember we had some numbers right a day or two after they started, but I know, though, there's been some more accounting going on here. Do we have a good idea of how much damage occurred during this?
I have not. We go through the excitement, I don't want to say excitement, the emergency
right.
that makes people move.
Mm-hmm.
And things were moving so fast and so furious with this fire because, of course, it started on the edge of Bingen, and the winds in the gorge just took this thing crazy.
Yeah.
It was to the top of the hill at Courtney Road and had mm-hmm. already burnt houses before they could hardly get their fire department up and going and moving mm-hmm. and trying to help. So it was moving so quickly and then trying to get everybody on the ground to help.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say enough for volunteers or landowners or everybody else that just ran mm-hmm. forward and started help protecting. So, yes, we have to do some calculations in the future and become more and more fire-wise, mm-hmm. All of us individually, myself included. I was on boundaries. I live up the Klickitat River, so mm-hmm. I was within evacuation boundaries all over the place as they shifted and moved. But even that for myself, I have to start thinking more of defensible lines around my buildings and my homes to help the firefighters when we get mm-hmm. into this. What does that look like? And there's a lot of agencies and stuff that offer that help, and I can't encourage people more to reach out to DNR and reach out to your local firefighters. They're your first responders and say, hey, what should I be doing here that you're worried about? That will be my next effort for the next year
yeah.
for myself personally.
I assume that there will also be, once this is completely in the rearview mirror, which this is going to be a little while, obviously. But once we get out of the fully out of the emergency situation, and this kind of gets to what you were just discussing here, I assume that as a county, and this will involve a lot of different layers here, there will be a debrief of, okay, how did this happen? You know,
yeah.
in terms of, and not just how this actual fire happened, but you mentioned the response to it, and maybe more importantly, as you just alluded to, figure out how what has to be done, because as you mentioned, you get into these winds, and we saw this in the Rowena fire also. I mean, the firefighters, they can only go so quick, they only move so fast, and you only put them in situations where they're not in incredible harm's way themselves, that we've got to think about how this doesn't happen again rather than how do we respond better.
Yes, I agree. One of the things I've already heard from local ranchers, and I can't say that I don't disagree, they brought up history from a long time ago, and I have to agree, I don't remember this type of fire in the gorge before like this in our area. We used to have grazing, and those cows would go places that humans can't even go in order to eat things down, and spring grazing probably was a very good idea to help manage underlying vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that anymore. We've taken away grazing leases. We've cut them off the properties. We have grazing versus recreation, and maybe we need a little more combination of how we manage things in the future.
Mm-hmm. I would think that'd be a discussion that you end up having more with, I would assume, DNR and the Forest Service.
Correct. And that's why I said we're going to have everybody at the table because of the configuration of the property in the gorge area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's under some regulation and some changes over the past 20 years that have brought us into the new age of a lot of people in our area, a lot of recreation in our area. And we also need to have those conversations about, is this firewise and are they safe?
Mm-hmm.
As fast as this one went, that could have been a big disaster if people would have been on bicycles up Courtney and cut off from a way out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, of course, part of the danger. Well, as I kept thinking about this fire in the Klickitat Canyon, and you live
yeah.
up there, so I'm probably not
yeah.
telling you anything you don't know, but there is a reality of, we always talk about in the gorge how there really aren't that many ways in and out. The Klickitat
no.
Canyon, I think there's only one way in and out, isn't there, for the most part? Maybe
yes,
two?
If you weren't familiar, like we've lived here 30 years, if you're not familiar with and can travel the back gravel roads,
mm-hmm.
you know where to go to get to safety personally. But we have a lot of short-term rentals and VRBO, and actually new people have moved way out because they want to get out of the city. They're not familiar with those roads. They're used to taking the main highway up and down, in
mm-hmm.
and out of here. So I have to commend Snowden. I saw during the fire, they had a great, that their community council has gotten together, and they made a great evacuation map for the community of Snowden. and have shared that with their community council and everybody that lives in their area, and it gave them alternative ways to go. Mm-hmm. And they were under the crosshairs for a while as it moved up Catherine Creek. We weren't quite sure if they couldn't get it stopped, if it wouldn't have rolled right on into Snowden.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, go ahead.
Oh, personal, you know, again, personal responsibility, and also Clickitat County does what Clickitat County does best, and that's neighbor helping neighbor. And that is the design of these community councils, to say, hey, this is our area, and what's the best we can do for this area? And they're unincorporated, but that helps the county more, too, if they can take on some of that at their level.
Well, of course, I mean, as you mentioned, the county commission, you meet again tomorrow, and it's been hard to think about any other news in Clickitat County but this fire here for the last 10 or 12 days. And plus, I was on vacation right before it, so I'm fairly behind here. So what's on the docket right now for the Clickitat County Commission? What are you guys working on?
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to switch my brain today. It's really hard to refocus and get back on daily business. I've taken care of some things in between taking care of fire things, but we had our regular agenda moving that we've been working on. I'm trying to think what was on it. I'm actually blank right now. You've hit a spot that was blank. I can't tell you. We have our regular agenda items, and, of course, our clerk is awesome. She'll keep us on task and on track, and all of that stuff's on our agenda, and we'll have to approve or disapprove and answer those questions and start moving forward again with regular business.
Actually, it did just bring to mind something. This actually goes back to the fire. One of the things about fire response is that it costs money, and that includes especially your Department of Emergency Management, which has been certainly stretched to its absolute limit from what I can tell in terms, and they've hung on. They've done a great job, but I'm sure there'll be some added cost to this. Is there concern about the budgetary impacts of this? I mean, this sort of thing you don't worry about when you're having to get through the emergency, but after the emergency, you kind of have to pick through that.
Right. And Mr. Eyrig did have a meeting with our financial committee, not over this reason, but prior to this going into budget season. We wanted to look at our revenues. We wanted to know what we have and where it's at, what we can spend, what do we have for situations like this. And then the treasurer came in and met with us last week and let us know we're in good shape as a county. Mm-hmm. We actually have reserves put away for emergency. We have reserves that we don't touch in case it's kind of end of the world and we have to survive. We have things well invested that are doing okay even in this economy and the upheavals going up and down. Mm-hmm. Republic Services at the landfill for the second quarter came in at or just a little above what we predicted they would do. Mm-hmm. So going into budget season, we're pretty comfortable and not saying we can just spend wild and cover things, but situations like this, we're going to be able to pull some things out and cover what we need to cover. And, of course, we have a way to recap funds since it became a certain level. We can apply for FEMA funds. Mm-hmm. It was declared because the governor, I think you know, I don't know if you knew, he came to White Salmon and met with the interagency team that took over, and that's a national team. We had firefighters coming in from Oklahoma, Montana, they were from everywhere, and they travel with this national team. I believe there was a little more than 870 firefighters that were staging at the Columbia High School. And that's who we signed the incident off to. And when we do that, then we're allowed to apply for FEMA funds to help recap some things. Of course, that's scary now with budget cuts, what's coming in the future. And I love FEMA. Thank you for helping us. But even the Bickleton fire and the guardrails we had to repair, we just are seeing those funds come in now, and that's a year later.
Did you have a chance to talk with the governor or the public lands commissioner, Dave Upthegrove, who was here with Bob Ferguson on when they made their visit? Were you guys there for that one, or any of you from the county commission?
Mr. Anderson was able to be there, Todd, okay. because he was on the West End. Mm-hmm. I actually essentially had no way to get there unless I was going to go up and through Glenwood and all the way back down mm-hmm. to White Salmon.
Yeah.
And that was 8 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. still during fire time, so I chose not to attend that meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Again, just you kind of described it earlier. You were directly impacted by this fire, I think it's fair to say.
We did pack our pickups. Mm-hmm. We were irrigating, managing our property. We packed our pickups for 2 or 3 days till we were sure that we could see far enough down the valley that if we saw specific things happen or got a call, we were leaving.
Yeah.
We did have a sheriff come by one evening, but we felt we were still in the clear, and so they just wanted to update us and tell us we lived rural on our road. They wanted to let everybody on our road know what was happening, and that's when the Brewer Road started. So we were right in the middle of two fires. But thankfully for us, the winds went every other direction.
Yeah. Lori Zoller, Clicktack County Commissioner, our guest. Lori, thanks for doing this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I always appreciate you guys. Thank you, Mark.
It is 8:50 in the morning on MCT. When we come back, we'll tell you what's coming tomorrow after this.
Hello, Clickitat County residents and visitors. We need your help. Our county is over 1,900 square miles. In order to keep the litter and illegal dump sites cleared, we need you to help us find it. Go to the Solid Waste Department homepage to find the litter reporting form at www.clickitatcounty.org. Here at Clickitat County Solid Waste, we are working in cooperation with the Washington State Department of Ecology and would like to say thank you for your support.
Heading down the highway? Pull over at the Little Burger Shack that's been bringing the love. Twin Peaks Drive-In in Hood River. Since the 50s, we've been flipping fresh, juicy burgers, rolling patties by hand, and slinging signature sauces like nobody's business. Add your pick of fries and a malted shake, and you've got a meal worth dancing about. Drive through, walk up, or kick back on the patio with mountain views. Hungry yet? Get to Twin Peaks Drive-In. It's your little old burger shack by the airport, baby. That's where it's at.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of helping a neighbor in need. Right now, many families in the Gorge are without reliable transportation, and you can help make a real difference. Bicoastal Media, C.H. Ernest Motors, and Gill's Point S Tire and Auto proudly present Wheels of Hope. This September, one deserving local family will receive the keys to a 2015 Ford Focus. And it starts with your nomination. If you know a family that's fallen on hard times and needs a dependable vehicle, visit GorgeRadio.com to tell us their story. It only takes a few minutes, but it could change their life. Wheels of Hope is made possible by community partners who care. C.H. Ernest Motors, Gill's Point S Tire and Auto, Walmart of Hood River, Wagas, Skyline Hospital, A&C Equipment Repair, Sinclair, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air, Bimart, Cascade Farm and Outdoor, and Crestline Construction. Visit GorgeRadio.com today to nominate a family and be a part of Wheels of Hope, because together we drive change.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:52 in the morning on MCT. Tomorrow on this show, we are going to talk about a grant that Mid-Columbia Senior Center is receiving to set up an Alzheimer's care program, a respite care program, I believe it is. Rob Garrett's going to be here from Mid-Columbia Senior Center, and we're also going to have, I forget who it was, someone from the Alzheimer's Association. I've got a name, and we're going to talk about what the plan is there. Wednesday on the show, Al Barton, Mid-Columbia Center for Living, is going to join us. And we're going to talk to Al about where you go from here on the Resolution Center topic. After the latest Oregon Health Authority decision that federal rules won't allow the facility to be built the way really it needed to be done for this area to be able to do it with the resources it has to make it cost efficient. So we'll talk to Al on Wednesday. Thursday, Mike Shen's going to be here from Hood River Lions. We're going to talk about the Families in the Park concert series. It starts on Thursday the 7th. It'll be every Thursday night in August at Jackson Park, the free concert series that's been going on for, oh, goodness knows how many years. Mike, I think, got it started when he was at Hood River Community Education, of course, and it's just kind of a kept on keeping on from there. And then Friday, Dr. Mike Foss will be here from Alpine Veterinary to talk animals on the program, because it'll be August at that point. It'll be the first day of August on Friday. So that is what is coming up on Mid-Columbia Today. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and then tell you about what else is going on in the area right after this.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. If someone talked you into buying something really silly, and you want to get out of that silly little thing, my advice, get the facts. Call me, and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit absolutely free. Inside, you'll learn how timeshare works and all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit information kit. 800-761-0000. That's 800-761-0000.
Paid for by Wesley Financial.
If Old Spice Deep Sea Super Hydration Body Wash were music, what would it sound like? Start with the deep sounds of Old Spice's ocean waves and kelp. Layer on the smooth, renewing moisture. You wouldn't hear any parabens or phthalates because Old Spice Deep Sea hasn't got any. But you would hear that vitamin B3 for healthier-looking skin. So while your regular body wash sounds like this, Old Spice sounds like this. Sounds like it smells amazing.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. 8:56 in the morning. I want to mention, because, of course, sorry, kids, school's going to start again faster than you want to realize. And especially high school sports are starting to get rolling here fairly quickly. And anyway, we were going to tell you that One Community Health is doing their sports physicals. And you can sign up for these at onecommunityhealth.org. They're going to various locations over the course of the next couple of weeks. Due for Hood River Valley High School on Tuesday and Wednesday. They'll be there all day long. Wednesday at Klickitat, Thursday at South Wasco and Maupin. Next week, they'll have clinics in Stevenson and White Salmon at their locations. And they're going to do one in Lyle later in the month. Go to onecommunityhealth.org. You can register for these sports physicals and get signed up for them, and you can get this taken care of. I know if you're an athlete out there and you want to make sure you're playing, you've got to have your physical every other year, I think it is. So check it out, onecommunityhealth.org. They can help you out. Also tomorrow, rescue dogs in action. Border Collies at Dobbins Beck Park in Bingen at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, presented by the White Sand Valley Community Library. You can go check those out. Sounds like fun for the kids especially. Gorge Music United, they've got a fundraiser for those affected by the Rowena fire coming up tomorrow from 5 to 9 at Mount Hood Winery's Tasting Room on 2882 Van Horn Drive in Hood River. Musical artists will perform short sets on two stages, and there will be different ways to donate and contribute, including there is a live auction. Also going to mention, because this is going to be going on Thursday, and we don't want everybody to get panicked by it. At least folks at Providence Hood River don't want you to panic, and I don't either. Providence Hood River is going to hold a large-scale mass casualty drill on Thursday starting at 10 in the morning in Jackson Park. The scenario is going to be that it's a bus crash with adolescents, again, volunteers made up with fake wounds and blood, emergency vehicles transporting kids from Jackson Park to the emergency room. And Providence wants you to know this so you don't see this and think this is real. It is a drill. So 10 o'clock Thursday morning, Jackson Park. If you see what you think is a bus crash, it's not a bus crash. It is a very important drill, so you're ready in case there is a bus crash. And hopefully you never have to use it, but you got to be ready to have the skills available and have the plan ready to go. We're done. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Tuesday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
How's Tommy doing now?
Much.